Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
We tend to think of Christianity, and I don't know why we do this, because there's no demographic reason in the world anymore to think of Christianity as a Northern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere thing. It isn't, and it hasn't been for a long time. I'm a Lutheran. I tend to think of Lutheranism as a Northern and Western Hemisphere thing as well. Guess what? It isn't. And it wasn't until very recently I had my eyes opened on this by, I think I read it on a blog that I picked as a blog of the week, that there are more Lutherans in Africa than in North America and Western Europe combined. And that's just scratching the surface. We're going to be talking about Christianity in Kenya here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Thomas Odland will join us here in just a moment. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, July the 27th, and you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. In a little bit on the show, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. What happens after a person dies? We'll break it down from Scripture, what Scripture says and doesn't say. We'll talk about gray divorce, that is, older baby boomers divorcing late in life. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be with us in the second hour. And then we'll conclude our four-part series on law and gospel with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Joining us to talk about Christianity in Kenya, Pastor Thomas Odland. He's an instructor at Montongo Lutheran Theological College in Kenya. Pastor Odland, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you, and always a pleasure to talk about what the Lord is doing in Kenya today.
You have spent many years and much of your time devoted to the training of future pastors there in Kenya. Talk about the life of ministry that these young men, these men face carrying out ministry to Lutheran congregations in Kenya. What's it like?
Well, there are examples of courage for us today and faithfulness amidst many challenges. I'll mention three in particular. In the ELCK, there are the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, there are now 700 congregations, but only 140 pastors. So right off the bat, the lack of shepherds for a growing flock, laborers for the vineyard, is so evident. You do the math, you find that there are only one pastor for every five congregations. And they're working under extreme hardship. Many of them find it hard to keep body and soul together. They are required by now the new constitution of the ELCK not to take another job. They can't run a kiosk in the parish. Obviously, that would put them in a strained relationship with the members of their flock, and yet the congregations often don't support them. So they have a great challenge right away, just logistically getting to their flock.
So we're talking about men who serve multiple, not just dual, but multiple parishes, and in many cases at some great distance, perhaps, and then only on foot between these parishes?
That's right. That's right. The the bishop of the ELCK, Archbishop Obari, will educate you right away to the terms congregation and parish. A parish is normally comprised of multiple congregations, five congregations for every parish, sometimes as many as 11. And you have to note, too, that these individual congregations are often at a great distance from other congregations in the parish. For example, when I preached at Sifuyu, I was told that these people had not received the sacrament for even not only months, but years. And I think, how can it be that a congregation can even exist in this way? And I was puzzled at first because I knew that my colleague, Ari Lukaranen, had been to officiate the sacrament just the previous year. Well, that's a different congregation within the parish, 22 miles distant. And many of them don't even have bicycles to get back and forth. They depend on taxis to bring them back and forth.
And yet this church and confessional Lutheranism in Kenya is thriving?
Well, I think so. just numerically, this is a growing church. When I first began raising consciousness and funds for my efforts over there 3 years ago, they had 450 congregations, 110 pastors. Now it's up to 700, as I say, 100,000 baptized in the ELCK. Yeah, it's growing. It's growing numerically. I believe it's growing spiritually as well, and the efforts of the bishops to keep the confessional Lutheran witness of the gospel are very much alive there in East Africa. But they face other challenges as well. Not only, I mentioned, the lack of pastors numerically, but also they face challenges that I think are especially endemic. It goes back to the old Adam, of course, but Pentecostalism, the street preachers, other false substitutes for the gospel of Christ and its truth and purity, its depth and power are very evident on every hand.
Bishop Obari has always mentioned kind of the corrupt nature of Kenyan government as a challenge to the church and also Islam. Speak to those two, if you would, Pastor Odland.
Well, corruption is something you see at every hand. When you travel on the roadways in Kenya, you don't see so much individual vehicles, automobiles, cars like we have here. You see what are called matatus. A matatu is a taxi that is virtually a minivan that is regularly a 14-passenger van. You'd expect 14 seatbelts, right? And that's the law in Kenya. You can only take 14 passengers. Well, it's a joke, and everybody knows it's a joke because typically you'll have as many as 25, 27 people, unbelievable numbers, just crammed into these matatus. And there are police checkpoints. You'd think that they'd have law enforcement, but regularly the matatu driver will go. The police officer will ask for some tea. The way we joke about policemen and donuts, he asks for a little tea, and he'll give him a 500-shilling note, you know, a few bucks, and he lets him go. Rather than paying the fine and having people step out, now this last year we had a new chief of police elected in our district, and for a while you saw people standing on the roads and finding other matatus to get to their destination. But That sense of corruption and its attendant disrespect for law and, opportunity rules, this kind of thing, it corrupts the moral fabric of the nation. And so it's always important, whenever you're talking about giving aid, money, that there be strict accountability. And that goes for the church as well.
What about Islam?
Islam is present, especially in the eastern part of the nation, but there is also the mosques in Kisumu, the third largest city, which is on Lake Victoria and only an hour distant from the seminary. So there is a presence of Islam. There is an Asian population and a Hindu population as well. But we don't find, let's say, the radical Islam that we do in other parts of the world. This last summer, however, there was a terrorist bombing in Uganda on July 11th, and one of the terrorist groups identified by the U.S. embassies has claimed responsibility. So This is something to watch. In general, Kenya has an Islam population. It varies in its estimate, maybe 10% of a 37 million population is Islam, 10% traditional African religion, and the remainder are Christian, probably 78% are nominally Christian, but that Christian population includes a very heavy dose of Seventh-day Adventists, so you don't really know what goes by what name of Christian in the country.
In previous conversations I've had with Bishop Walter Obare, he has also mentioned the kind of the ever-present scourge of the AIDS pandemic, and especially the orphan population that that terrible disease produces across the board, not only in Kenya but elsewhere as well. Talk about that, if you would, as a special challenge to those carrying out gospel ministry in Kenya.
Oh, this is just so present, always present among the people. It's such a tragedy there in Africa. But compounding this presence of AIDS is a tradition, two traditions, one, polygamy, and the other, a kind of a levirate marriage, where the brother of a man who has deceased is expected to take up his wife and husband her. And so you often then have a compounded problem where you have children who are really double orphans. And there are also street children. A friend of mine is working in ministry to them, friends in the city of Kisumu, where you have children who just simply run away from home and learn to live on the streets and get into sniffing glue and a drug culture that it presents a special challenge and opportunity for ministry, and it's an ongoing struggle to, their goal is to reunite these children with their families.
When we come back, we'll talk more about Christianity in Kenya with Pastor Thomas Odland, instructor at Mantago Lutheran Theological College in Kenya, and I want to know about one of the leaders of worldwide Lutheranism who has emerged, Bishop Walter Obare of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Kenya.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 27th. We're talking Christianity in Kenya with Pastor Thomas Odland. In about Well, I'd say about 15 minutes, Pastor Bill Swirla is going to join us. What happens after a person dies? The Bible says that we're all going to die. Barring the return of Christ, we're all going to die. The Bible's a little fuzzy on what happens after, when it happens. Does when even apply anymore, or where even apply anymore? We'll say what the Bible has to say about that a little bit later in this hour of Issues, Etc. Pastor Adlin, as we're talking about Christianity in Kenya, one name occurs to me, and that is Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Kenya. Tell us about this man and his story.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because to speak of Christianity in Kenya, we have to tell that story. This goes back to February of 1985. February of 2005. I met Bishop Obari later that year at a meeting of the International Lutheran Council in Spandau, Berlin, Germany. And when I met him for lunch on that last Tuesday in August, he was bound to go back to Bethlehem, where he was called on the carpet by the Executive Council of the Lutheran World Federation and told, "You can no longer be our theological advisor." Why? Because in February, he had responded to a request of the Swedish Mission Province to consecrate a godly bishop for those who wanted to be confessionally Lutheran. They regarded Holy Scripture as inspired, written, inerrant Word of God, and they would not bow to the requirement of the Church of Sweden that they receive the sacrament from the hands of a priestess three times before they could be ordained. So there were no ordinations of confessional Lutherans in Sweden. And Sweden is a very important country in this context, because it was the efforts of the Swedish Lutheran Mission post-World War II that we find the beginnings of the ELCK. So when Walter Obari agreed, he went back in February of 2005 now to consecrate Arne Olsen. He had death threats, and they drew lots to see who would go with. He asked his wife Eunice. Already there had been an attempt of murder. A man had fired a pistol at thinking that he had killed him in his home in Nairobi. And to this day, Bishop Obari says, the Lord sent angels to protect me. Who can argue with that assessment? I mean, he's a living witness today. Still, he asked his wife. She said, "Well, they could kill you here or they could kill you there. I'll go with in case it would be an honor to bring your body back." And they drew lots, and John Machoro, the church treasurer, went with. They did not announce until 24 hours before the event where the consecration would take place. It took place, and he went back this last year for the consecration of his successor. So in going the first time, and I think these words are perhaps well known now to your listeners, Todd, but he made the statement, "You first," to the Swedish Lutherans, "you first brought this teaching to us. We are now bringing it back to you." And that statement has to get you when you hear it. It makes you sober. It makes you rejoice. But it also makes you sober when you realize what has happened globally to the Christian faith in its propagation.
Speaking of that, Pastor Odland, I was recently, and I should have known this, I really should have, but I guess I didn't, surprised to learn that there are more Lutherans in Africa than in North America and Europe combined.
Well, I wanted to share that perspective, because to really speak of Kenya today, you have to think of Christianity globally and throughout its 2,000-year history. I mean, since the church's birthday, the day of Pentecost, when God the Holy Spirit moved the cross into the center of faith and life, hitherto it had been seen as a temporary reversal by the disciples, but now the Holy Spirit shows that it is for this reason our Lord came. And the word of the cross goes from Jerusalem to Caesar's household, to the capital city of Rome. Evangelist Luke shows us along the way how there are other stories as well that meet up, and we will see their full extent only in heaven. But the baptism of the Ethiopian who goes on his way rejoicing, that little word joy sums up the mission of the church, and it reaches into Africa, and there has been a presence in Ethiopia for 2,000 years. We know some of them are members of the Coptic Church, of course, but there's also the Mekane Jesus Church there today. The Lutheran Church has 5 million members in Ethiopia, 3 million in Madagascar alone. That just those two churches, 8 million total, exceed the number of the ELCA, the LCMS, and all the other smaller Lutheran church bodies in North America. Perhaps, estimates vary, but perhaps between 14 and 18 million Lutherans in Africa total. And who knows what the total number is today in Europe. It's that's got to be a soft number when you see churches who are willing to depart so far from true Christian faith.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, Pastor Odlin, does that mean that brave and faithful men like Bishop Walter Obare are really, whether they see themselves this way or not, leaders in global Lutheranism?
Well, it's unquestioning. You hit the nail on the head, Todd. The year that I was ordained, 1980, two Catholic bishops landed in North America from Africa in the city of Baltimore. And we're seeing this globally, how the Anglican bishops in Africa, especially in Uganda, are speaking prophetically in the name of the Lord. They are willing to say, "Thus saith the Lord," when their counterparts in North America and Europe are caving in. So without question, men of the stature of Obare are true and godly bishops, and I thank the Lord for them.
What can you tell us briefly about Project Timothy Kenya?
Well, this is exciting. Walter Obare invited me personally in June of 2007 to go teach theology as I'd come to the conclusion of my second term in office as presiding pastor. American Association of Lutheran Churches, having just declared mutually that summer fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and joining the International Lutheran Council and seeing our seminary now dispose wonderfully as we send our students to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He invited me to go teach, and so under the auspices of the St. Timothy Society, we've been raising funds, and I have now completed 2 years of teaching there, going back for a third year. August 20th, I depart, Lord willing, if we get the funds and the pledges to do that. I'm looking forward to teaching once again dogmatics and Greek and letters to the Romans and other classes as well. It's been just a thrill to work with these Kenyan Christians and to be in other ways of assistance to Archbishop Obare.
Folks, you can find out more about Project Timothy Kenya at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Thomas Odlin is instructor at Montongo Lutheran Theological College in Kenya. Pastor Odlin, please keep up your good and faithful work.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you today.